Commodore Hour is on the air. Over the next hour, we'll discuss the latest around Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield, Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers, built Ford tough. Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Allegretta and Kevin Ingram.
Welcome into tonight's edition of the Commodore Hour. Andrew Allegretta here with Kevin Ingram. Over the course of the next hour, we'll talk about Vanderbilt football. We'll put a finishing touch on the season for Team 1 and head coach Clark Lee. Coming up in just a little bit, Deputy Athletic Director Tommy McClellan checks back in about Vandy United and all of the progress the athletic department has made throughout the course of the season, plus a conversation with Trey Thomas of the men's basketball program. Kev, let's just jump right in with football. First off, it's been a blast working these games with you throughout the course of this season. I had a ton of fun with Hugh, with Norm, the whole crew. But let's go 30,000 foot, right? It's a 2-10 season. I know some people wanted more victories. Clark Lee is certainly at the top of that list as people that want more victories for this 2021 season. But I think we all kind of stepped into this year and said it was about laying the foundation and understanding that you're going to build upon what you do throughout the course of the season. So if I said what was the one thing throughout the course of this year you really felt like the team was able to establish better with, what might it be?
Well, first of all, it's been a pleasure for me to work with you. You've done a great job coming in here and getting started calling football at Vanderbilt. You and Norm and the whole crew, it's been a lot of fun,
man. Yeah. Norm's a blast, man.
He is. We had a great car ride to Knoxville and back the other day, and I think we both told our share of stories. It was very cool, but yeah, enjoyed it absolutely. As far as the 30,000 foot view of this program, to me, one thing that was very noticeable was just sort of the organization of it all, how well thought out everything was that happened, that was planned, whether it was a road trip or whatever it was, the dealings we have with the coaches, everything's always very well thought out. There's nothing that doesn't feel like there's a lot of stuff that's not always locked down or the way it's supposed to be in terms of planning. And I think that goes to the Coach Shalee and his staff and everybody that works there, was Casey Stangler or whoever. They've all done a great job of making it all happen. As far as on the field, we certainly would have liked to have seen more wins. The game in South Carolina, to me, it's funny. I was thinking about that driving over here today. Like, that to me was the one that, okay, it would have been 3-9, but still you would have felt maybe a little bit differently about the season if you could have finished the job right there. And it was interesting. After that game, we went in Coach Lee's office the following Monday, and he showed us video of what all happened, and it was really interesting. But yeah, you get that one done. You win an SEC game, especially an SEC road game. Maybe it's a little different feel. Missouri felt like we had a chance in that one, too. I think there was tangible progress from game one, the disappointment of East Tennessee State, all the way to the game in Knoxville back on Saturday, where I thought Vanderbilt actually did some good things and played well for a whole lot of the game. But the score is what it is. But I feel like there was progress made. I think you saw some players that grew over the course of the season. And if it was about building a foundation for the future, I feel like they accomplished that in some way in this season.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think you could make a real strong case, too, Kev, that the last two games that Vandy played might have been their strongest against mm-hmm. Ole Miss, a team that looks like they're bound for a New Year's Six Bowl, and a team against Tennessee that has been really stressful for everyone. I think they showed a stat on the SEC Network this morning that compared mutual opponents between Georgia and Alabama, and the point that I'm making here is that Georgia throttled all of its mutual opponents way better than Alabama, except for Tennessee, saying that Tennessee challenged Alabama and Georgia both in the same exact way throughout the course of the season. So albeit the team down the road, but they put stress on teams in the SEC this season that's a lot of the SEC teams probably have not seen in quite some time. So the fact that you acquitted yourself against Ole Miss and Tennessee, both of them on the road in really hostile environments, I think a lot can be said about that. The way that Mike Wright played down the stretch, I think, was really notable. And I think you can point to the offense and how they ran some of their drives down the stretch is really interesting. True. Against Ole Miss, it was 93 plays. 93 plays against Ole Miss, which blows the doors off their next closest, which was like 75, 76 plays.
Yeah, it was 75 against Tennessee.
Right. And then in Tennessee, you had at least one drive that was upward of 20 plays, and I think it finished in a touchdown as well. So that's what they've been looking for throughout the course of the season, and it takes time to get there. I recognize that. We wanted it quicker. But they made progress clearly toward the goals that they set out.
Yeah, and you talk about those long drives in that Tennessee game, and that was part of conversation I had with Coach Lee after the game. Said, hey, maybe we see those drives back in the first half, and it serves us well and keeps the game closer. The two drives you're talking about, one was 13 plays for 75 yards in just short of 8 minutes. Rocco Griffin, a 13-yard touchdown, about 6.5 minutes to go in the third. And then later on in the fourth quarter, around 9 minutes to go, Mike Wright scored on a 4-yard run. 20 plays, 75 yards, 10 minutes and 55 seconds. You talk about playing games against Ole Miss and against Tennessee with offenses that run as many plays as they do and score as quickly as they do. That's what you got to have,
yeah,
right there.
And I suspect down the road in year two, year three, that's not what Clark Lee is looking for. They're going to want to do that, you know, with 8, 9, 10 plays and finish in a touchdown and not necessarily need to eat up 10 minutes off the clock. But that's the way this team is built. And what makes it difficult, obviously, is you fall behind 21-0 or whatever it was, and then all of a sudden you need more explosive plays. And I get all of that. Like, I get the reasoning why you need those back in the first quarter, not the third and the fourth quarter. I get it. But that's what they laid out, and they were able to do that. The penalties made clear strides throughout the course of the season. The fact that Vandy's going to finish top five in this conference in interceptions has been notable. They struggled to get to the quarterback in the first half of the season. We saw some nice plays by DeVault Smith against Ole Miss, and they got some pressure and forced a fumble against Joe Milton against Tennessee. So there have been very obvious moments throughout the course of the season where you're rewiring stuff here for sure. You're just rewiring the way that everybody within the program approaches things, and they've made clear and obvious progress, at least to me.
I feel the same way. And, you know, we talked about those interceptions. They had four straight games with at least two, and then a whole stretch of games like eight straight with a pick in all those games. And it's funny how getting pressure on the quarterback and getting interceptions goes hand in hand. And that game in South Carolina, I believe, got four turnovers in that game. And that was maybe the one where Vanderbilt did the best job of getting the pressure on the quarterback throughout the game. You also have to work around injuries. And that's part of football. But, you know, trying to play a whole season without, or at least more than half the season, really, without Ken Seals, who was going into the opener, your starting quarterback, made it challenging. I thought Mike Wright did a really nice job. He really felt like he settled into the quarterback spot, and there is no easier guy to root for on this roster than Mike. He's just a really terrific young man and a great teammate. As I've said throughout the season, he might be the best teammate in this whole group. But, yeah, you know, there are always those factors. There are injuries to work around, and we didn't get to see much of Ray Davis.
I was going to say, we kind of just stopped talking about the fact that your starting running back at the beginning of the season played, what, two or three games?
Right. He only ended up with 32 carries for 135, and you know, he was injured and gone for most of the season. You think about down the stretch, Davion Davis gets hurt against Kentucky. He's out for the year. That's one of your captains and one of your key guys. And then I think, you know, when you look down the road, improvement on both sides on the lines, which are where football, you know, it's a cliche, but it's where football games in large part are won and lost. I mean, those are areas you're going to have to add some personnel and certainly improve in those areas if you're going to look to have success in this league.
All right, we'll step aside, come back in just a couple of seconds. We'll talk a little bit about hoops since we've got a game here tonight for men's basketball against Mississippi Valley State, and the women's play tomorrow inside Memorial at 7 p.m. as well. So we'll step aside, continue our conversation in just a couple of seconds. After this, on the Commodore Hour, part of the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with head coach Clark Lee. That is part of the conversation that Kevin had after the game at Tennessee, but he had some good stuff in there as we kind of put a bow on this 2021 season. We wanted folks to have the opportunity to, if they missed it, hear what Clark said after the game against Tennessee. Trey Thomas is coming up in a little bit. Deputy Athletic Director Tommy McClellan is coming up in a little bit to talk about Vandy United. Last thing on football before we talk about basketball, Kev, you kind of touched on it, so I may be circling back to the depth on the line and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking forward to 2022, what's in your brain about the next step for this program and the next areas of improvement that you think Coach Clark Lee and his staff are going to work on?
I mean, I'm sure they're hitting the road recruiting with signing day only.
Yes, they are.
A few days away now, the December signing period. But yeah, you want to see improvement on the offensive line and guys who played and are coming back improve and add some parts there. And you know, over on the defensive side of the football, get more pressure on the quarterback. That's obviously always a key thing. I thought bright spots too. Those two inside linebackers, Anthony Orji and Ethan Barr, both had terrific seasons. They really did. They were very reliable players. And we saw how important they were in that Tennessee game.
No kidding.
In the first half, Tennessee's offense runs at such a high pace and tempo that you got to get guys rest. So both of them were brought off to the sideline. I'm sure the plan was to have them out for maybe a play and then plug them right back in there. They're unable to get back on the field, and no knock to the guys behind them, but
Smalls goes for a six-yard touchdown.
Right. It's not Barr and Anthony Orji out there. So you really saw their value. I think they played the majority of the snaps throughout the season. I thought those two were just outstanding. And I thought there were some nice performances in the secondary, too.
I think overall, right, it's just going to be the depth. That is that is the thing for any one of these elite-level programs. I mean, you can cycle it back to Vanderbilt baseball, right? Like, we understand that the program Coach Corbin has built is built on the fact that you're going to have a freshman on your bench that you don't know about because the upperclassmen are so talented. But the minute that you roll things over or you need that freshman to step up, guess what? He's an impact player immediately. And you're going to need that, to your point. Like, if you just want to talk about the linebacking position, yes, when Ethan Barr or Orji need a break, you need to be able to roll in somebody that is right there with them. Again, with no disrespect to the fact, I think it was Tommy Echols and Braden DeVault Smith that were in at that particular moment. It's just depth wins ball games at all levels.
And depth on the line does too.
Absolutely.
You watch the SEC. To me, the difference in the great teams in the SEC are the depth on the defensive line. Because, you know, you can rotate three or four guys in and out. We've seen it for years. Alabama, Georgia, LSU, they have so many good players at those positions. To me, it makes all the difference.
You need eight really good defensive linemen.
Absolutely.
Right off the bat, you probably need like 10 to 12 because there's going to be attrition throughout the course of the season. So all of that stuff is hard, and it's the reason that Saban and Kirby Smart and these guys have built the programs that they've built in the same way that Coach Corbin has built his program, the depth of talent. But that's task number one, and there's a lot of talented players on this Vanderbilt football roster right now, but any good team needs as many as possible.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that in baseball. I think of Troy Lindeve. That's the guy for baseball that comes to mind immediately. He didn't play a whole lot throughout a whole lot of the season. But then due to some injuries, you plug him in, and he just hits everything in sight. He's out there against Kentucky hitting walk-offs and everything else. And I think a lot of people were looking around going, where did this guy come from?
Isn't that the context, and you know this better than I do, of the 2019 season, where you feel like you've got good pieces, but you know, you're turning over a pitching staff, and you're kind of plugging some spots, and all of a sudden they become what they become. Yeah. And that's the depth that you don't even realize you have until you have to force them into critical places. And I think football will try to do the same thing throughout the course of their time. All right, so there's plenty of coverage that we'll have for Vanderbilt football as we turn the page to signing day on December 15th. So stay tuned to VUCommodores.com. We're going to pump out a ton of information that day as the faxes don't come in or whatever.
Are you and Barton Simmons going to be at the fax machine?
Yeah, that's right. Metaphor, like, we should do it for nostalgia's sake. I think we're all going to be huddled around like Molly Hart's phone, probably because she's the one that's going to receive all of these. Like, you take a picture of your...
See, that's no fun. I want a fax machine.
I know. That's right. We need the dial-up
thermal
modem.
Paper
that's
coming
right.
out of that
that's
fax
right.
machine.
That's right. I need the ear-splitting sound of a fax machine spitting out a piece of paper. But anyway, December 15th, plenty of coverage across the social platforms for Vanderbilt football and for UConnectors.com. So stay tuned to that. Give us the theme of the past week for men's basketball. Again, tip-off coming up shortly. You'll have the call for that against Mississippi Valley State across the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. But coming off a nice win against Pittsburgh, give us the theme of the past 7 days for Jerry Stackhouse and his team.
You can see the theme for me has been food over the last days. I think it was the theme for the basketball team as well. I took it that Stack cooked for the whole crew on Thanksgiving.
Sounds delightful.
I got from both Coach Stackhouse and from Trey Thomas. But it was a really nice win at Pittsburgh the other night. It was the first road game of the season. I don't care how good anybody is supposed to be or not supposed to be. If you can go on the road and especially defeat an ACC team, a power conference team, hey, man, you'll take that every time. Vanderbilt sort of struggled through a lot of the first half, and there was a pretty good-sized drought in there. But the defense did a good enough job to keep Vanderbilt close, keep them in the game. The shots started going down, and then in the second half, Vanderbilt played a fantastic second half. 10 out of 25 from three overall, 7 of 13 in the second half from three, outscored Pitt 44-29, and that was including a couple of garbage baskets at the end when the game was out of reach for Pittsburgh. But Trey Thomas was a story. He scored 14 points. He had struggled from three-point land. He shot close to 40% last year from behind the arc, but he'd gone 1 for 15 over the first four games. He got hot and hits 4 out of 6. It seemed like he's one of those guys, and a lot of shooters it this way. You see one go in and it just opens the floodgates, and he started hitting everything in sight, including one that was right in front of Tim and me in front of the bench. He's kind of sliding to the left and Scottie Pippen hit him with a pass, and Trey made the three on the move. It was a beautiful shot. It kind of brought the house down over on the bench. It was fun. And Vanderbilt went on a big run in the second half and got the game to a workable margin and got to the finish line. Did a good job in transition to 14-2 in fast break points. It was really a feel-good win. It was cool to kind of walk out of there and get on the bus and go to the airport and think, okay, we got a road win to enjoy for a few days. Maybe not for a few days, but at least for going into Thanksgiving.
Sure.
You know, you have a good feeling, and you're not sitting on a loss before you get back and play again on Monday. But that was a nice one, I thought. Vanderbilt's 4-1 as we get ready for the game tonight.
Good job by the women's basketball team as well. They go on the road. They go to the Paradise Jam, and we noted going into that tournament for Coach Kralf how difficult the opponents were going to be. Taking on Arizona, a team that finished second for the national championship, lost to Stanford last year. Final score 48-46 against Arizona.
Buzzer beater.
I know,
killer.
Goodness gracious. Yep. It was a fantastic performance, but they bounce back. They take down Rutgers 51-40, and they do fall to DePaul 91-74. But again, I think Candace talked about it last week when we had her on the program too. To an extent, Clark and Shea are on these parallel journeys. Mm-hmm. And you can see very quickly too for Coach Kralf the tangible evidence of progress they've made within that program. So it should be fun throughout the course of December as we start to creep our way toward SEC play. But we've got some good non-conference matchups, and both teams have proven something throughout the course of November.
Yeah, I've been really happy for Shea and the coaching staff and these players. You know, they didn't taste a whole lot of success last year, and then the season for the ones who are returning players got cut short. They've come out, they won some games. I thought it was great for them to go down there and play really well in that Paradise Jam tournament. As you said, that was some really nice competition. And
good
to come out there and have a chance to beat Arizona, that shows you something right off the bat. Got a nice win against Rutgers, and you go from there, come back home and play some here before you go into the gauntlet that is SEC play, because SEC is great in every sport. It's fantastic in women's basketball. It's a tough conference slate that you face every year. But happy to see that group growing. I'm sure Shea is probably pleased, but maybe cautiously optimistic with the progress that they made so far. And we talk about it with football, work to be done, and there's work to be done with that program. But off to a nice start here at 4-4 going into Tuesday night's game.
A last thought before we turn things over, take a break, let Clark Lee recap the season. Kevin's post-game conversation against Tennessee, we'll play that for you in just a second. But there's a cool story between head coaches here tonight for the men's teams, yes?
Mm-hmm. There is Jerry Stackhouse and Lindsey Hunter, who is the head coach for Mississippi Valley State. They played together in the NBA with the Detroit Pistons. And Lindsey was a really just solid, reliable guard for a lot of years in the NBA. it made me feel old. He played at Jackson State. He played college ball at Jackson State back in the day. And I was thinking, I did a game when he played, when I was a student at Western Kentucky. We did games on the student station.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember doing a game when he played way back then. But yeah, those guys know each other well. He and Jeff Capel, Stack and Jeff Capel are good friends too. We saw at Pittsburgh the other night.
Have we put you in the Western Kentucky Hall of Fame yet?
No, I'm.
Does the student station have a Hall of Fame? Like, we need to make that happen.
No, I don't think. I doubt if I would be on that list either. Oh, I will say the first time I heard Nirvana and some of those bands of that sort of era, when grunge was starting to hit, the first time I heard them, I was playing those Smells Like Teen Spirit and all of that. So
I should know this. The comm school at Western has a really good program. What's the name of it again? Or the photography school, maybe something like that.
It's a renowned program. I don't know that it has a.
Oh, there's no. Maybe it's just like the mass communication school.
I mean,
or
it's not like
that,
the Newhouse School or anything like that. But
goodness, yeah. owned by a publishing magnate.
But yeah, Western is known for having a strong program.
Yes, it does.
And broadcast.
Yes, it does. It very much does. Okay, so we'll step aside. Don't forget, men's basketball coming up in about a half hour or so. At this point, your broadcast will start over on 93.3 across Nashville, and of course on the VU Commodores app. You can listen to that one. Kevin has the call tonight for Vanderbilt versus Mississippi State, Mississippi Valley State, excuse me.
Oh, I've done that to you already.
Goodness gracious.
I had to start my interview with Coach Stackhouse over.
Yeah, there's
no cowbell.
That's right. There's a notable difference between what, Itabena, Mississippi, and Starkville. Yes. They're about 2 hours across the state, I guess, from each other. But that's coming up at 7 p.m. here tonight. And then Coach Shay Ralph tips off with her program tomorrow, Tuesday, inside Memorial. But we'll step aside first, come back in a couple of seconds. Kevin's conversation with head coach Clark Lee after the Tennessee game coming up in just a second across the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back to Commodore Hour. Great to have you with us on this Monday night. Of course, basketball, as we talked about, coming up shortly. Pre-game coming up at 6:30 for Vanderbilt and Mississippi Valley State on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Right now, we're going to listen to my post-game conversation with Coach Clark Lee. This is from our broadcast back on Saturday as the Commodores finished up the season at Tennessee. Here's the head coach. Welcome back to Knoxville. Vanderbilt falls to Tennessee 45-21 to finish up the season, joined by Coach Clark Lee. And I guess, you know, first of all, what's the nature of your message to the team with the season now done?
Just to give thanks to the guys that played their last game in our uniform. To make sure they know how much I appreciate them, and I'm sorry that we came up short in their last attempt, but you know, they've allowed us to set a great foundation here, and the work that they've done gives us our launching point, you know, to what's next, and then, you know, to communicate to year two team two that this program needs to be filled with rage to change. We have to understand that we're not victimized by the results. We're not victimized by the records. This is the state we're in because of the work we put into it. And it's making the decision right now that the clock has started on year two, team two. And, you know, we got to get to work. You know, we got a lot of work to do. But that's going to be critical that these guys are motivated to change, to continue the push forward in the program.
As for tonight's game, how big was the start of each half, the pick six in the first half and then the quick drive by Tennessee to start the second half?
Yeah, the pick six is not the recipe, right? That's not going to be the formula. You know, we needed to have possessions on offense in the first half like we had in the second half, you know, where we were able to control the clock, establish a physical run game, convert on third and fourth down, and finish our drives with touchdowns. That was the formula. You know, we weren't able to do that. I thought our defense on the whole played well in the first half. I thought particularly they came out with a fourth down stop on the short field early. Obviously, still, you know, when Tennessee was able to convert on fourth down in the first half, they were able to finish drives with touchdowns. And so we had opportunities to get off the field that we couldn't get off. And against a good offense like that, you got to maximize those chances. I was disappointed in the second half with the way we played on defense. I thought we were on our heels. We weren't able to get them off schedule, and we let the tempo get to us. And so that was unfortunate, and I hated that you know, that they were able to score that last touchdown. I want to see better compete on our end to finish the right way. But this was a game where we never got in sync. You know, if we could have gotten rhythm on offense, extended drives in the first half, we played well enough on defense in the first half to get a lead. You know, we instead we took a deficit in halftime and then weren't able to really put up much of an effort on defense in the first two drives of the second half. So, you know, against good teams, that's not going to be good enough. And Tennessee's a good team. And you know, the result reflects our inability to execute and to play the way we know we can play.
You know, you talk about those, especially two long scoring drives in the second half. What did you like about the way Mike and Rocco performed?
Well, I thought offensively, you know, we there was belief and rhythm. There was, you know, we executed. We covered people up. We got push in the front. We got first and second down efficiency, which set up convertible third and fourth downs. We had a number of fourth down conversions, which is those are attitude snaps, which was good to see. And so, you know, that was the intent for the four quarters. Unfortunately, we played that way in the third and fourth quarter, and because we were behind, you know, that's not going to get it done.
How difficult is it to defend you all, what Tennessee does, just the way they spread the field so wide and give you so much to cover?
You have to win one-on-ones. You have to be able to tackle in space, you have to have patience, too, because you know, it can feel like you're taking on a lot of yards, but, you know, second and 10 is a chance to finish the drive. So once you get them off schedule, you have to maximize those opportunities and finish. And I felt like our tackling wasn't good enough. We weren't good enough in those one-on-one situations in space to down the ball. We were taking on too much yards after contact. Some of that came on fourth downs and a lot of it from the quarterback. And so, you know, those are things that we have to do better if we expect to win that game.
Back to offense for a moment. What did you like about the way this team converted on fourth down a number of times tonight?
Well, it was kind of a goal of ours from the season that, you know, fourth and one was going to be our down. I thought we did excellent when it came to those extra short yard fourth downs. You know, we converted some others in there too, which is great. I mean, that's obviously, particularly when you're playing against a good offense, part of the formula, but weren't able to convert on the 2 minute drive, you know, twice, and you know, weren't good enough to finish with a win.
I guess finally, what was it like for you to coach in this series for the first time after being a part of it as a player?
You know, it's emotional. Right now I'm frustrated, so, you know, I feel the frustration of being on this end of this game. You know, but I mean, this is a special game for Vanderbilt, special game for our team, special game for our fans, and we want to be better in it. And so right now the feeling is frustration, and yet, you know, we'll wake up tomorrow and be working in earnest on year two, team two. So we got a long way to go. There's a lot of growth needed from now until next fall, but we'll be returning a nucleus within this team that'll be ready for the challenge ahead.
Coach Clark Lee, thanks for the time tonight and throughout the season.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you.
That's Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee, having finished up his first season as head coach at his alma mater. When we come back, we will have Vanderbilt Deputy Athletic Director Tommy McClellan talking about Vandy United and other things going on with the Commodore Athletics programs as we continue with Commodore Hour on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back to tonight's edition of the Commodore Hour. Andrew Allegretta here. So glad you could join us. Coming up shortly, we'll talk with Trey Thomas from men's basketball. But now pleased to welcome in the Deputy Athletic Director for External Affairs here at Vanderbilt, Tommy McClellan. Tommy, we'll get into all of the Bandy United stuff. We'll talk a little bit about fan engagement opportunities with men's and women's basketball. But first off, there's been so many new people added to this roster here at Vanderbilt Athletics. You are one of them about a year and a half since you started here in Nashville. Just curious, tell us about the family and how everybody's been able to settle in so far.
Yeah, so I arrived at the beginning of October in 2020, and so, just over a year now. And in some ways, it seems like multiple years, and in others, it's blinked and it's happened. My family arrived towards the end of the fall semester. They were finishing out in Ruston. And so they, kind of between Thanksgiving and Christmas, came in. We had a rent house. We moved into our home in Brentwood in January, and kids have started school. And I would say that it really, for them, probably began to feel more like home around March or April, as some of the COVID restrictions were happening across Williamson and Davidson County and at Vanderbilt athletic events, where they could be a part of it, right? They moved here and couldn't come to events. There wasn't a lot of entertainment things going on that you think of when you think about Nashville. And then I would say that the biggest blessing to our family was the baseball run, because it for raising two sons, a now 11 and a 10-year-old, man, they're ate up with athletics. Yeah. I mean, they grew up they're the two sons of an AD, and so to come here and to not really get to fully experience that for the first several months, it really kind of somewhat diminished their grafting to this place. But as the season progressed, one of my favorite memories is just, clinching the Super Regional here at home, and my youngest was with me, Grayson, and just the sheer joy on his face, knowing we're going to Omaha, which he didn't even know what that meant, but he does now. And then we did. We booked our own flights as a family, and we flew out there. We spent kind of the first weekend, that first 3 days, we saw the first two games. And went to the zoo and did Top Golf and downtown and all of those things, kind of got the entire experience, the Omaha experience. Then we flew back, and then I proceeded to go back and forth as we continued a great run in Omaha. But, and then obviously fast forward into this fall, and things are, they've been able to go to games and even some away games, and then other sports as well. And so they're doing well. They're slowly becoming Tennesseans. And yeah. So that is it's exciting to see as a father. The things about Nashville that we all know are great. I mean, like we've been able to go to Titans games and Predator games and Nashville SC, and all of those are having great seasons. And so it's been fun. We've enjoyed it. Vanderbilt, the work here has been great. Which brought us here, but from a family standpoint, they are really enjoying it, and there's so many more things to do. We love to be outside and to be outdoors, and we haven't had a chance to go to some of the state parks around us, but we'll be getting a chance to do that this spring, hopefully. So very enjoyable.
All right, so let's talk some business here. I guess it was maybe 2 weeks ago when the renderings for Vandy United came out. Curious, first off, the reaction that you've been able to get from the community, from the fan base, as you've continued to have those conversations, and then maybe to an extent what you want fans to know about Vandy United at large, more than just the rendering.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, as one can imagine, I mean, any time a university provides insight, a visual insight into what the future will look like, it generates greater excitement. And we went through this period where in March we announced Vandy United as a capital campaign, what that amount would be, and what the projects in word, meaning we will do a basketball practice facility, a football operations facility, a renovated McGugan, South End Zone Premium. But there was no visual. So there was excitement about the fact that there was commitment from the university, a lead gift, and that we were publicly announcing it. But then as time went along, there was certainly, there was always an intention on our end, we were going to release the renderings. It was just a matter of the timing of that. And so last 2 weeks ago when we released those, again, it was as expected. For those that knew that we were going to do this, it was affirmation. For those that were waiting for something more tangible, it was also affirmation. I think in any big project that you're doing, you're always going to have people that are visionaries, right? They see the vision of the leadership, and they're willing to come alongside when there's really nothing to physically see, but they believe in the vision. And as an example, John Ingram is one of those. We have many others, but John was the lead gift on this project, and he's a visionary. We know that about him, being in this community, in this town, and what he's done with the soccer team and what he's done with Vanderbilt historically. But you know, we have those people that come alongside in a quiet phase where there's maybe not as much tangible vision physically, but they can see what you see. And then you get to a point where, you know, you get as many of those people on board, and then you have to go public. And then that's a very, you know, a different phase where you're getting people that are coming on because now they see the vision, they believe in what's happening. There's more reality to it. That's happening now. And so we're seeing great success in fundraising. I can't say enough about Mark Carter and his team at the National Commodore Club. They're just professionals. They're remarkable. You got a guy like Mark who's spent the majority of his career here waiting for an opportunity to do something like this, and he is not letting us down. Mm-hmm. He's doing a remarkable job, and his team is. And it is a team effort on this, right? But he's leading that group. And so, we're excited about the vision of what we're doing. We have a lot of humble donors, I will say this, that haven't allowed us to publicly announce some things, but we're having a lot of success that hasn't been as public because of some people want to remain private, and we respect that. But we're really looking forward, to just continuing. And we've got Populous that'll be on campus this week, so those conversations are going. I know that from a fan or an average, person that views into Vanderbilt athletics only sees those big announcements, but the week that we announced Vandy United, Populous was here all week, which is our architectural firm, and Barton Mallow is our contractor. Every 2 or 3 weeks, they will be here 2 days in those weeks for the remainder of all of this construction as we continue this effort. Things will begin to happen in 2022. We talked about that. There's some things that need to occur with Palmer Fieldhouse has to come down, and we want to honor and respect that history there in a proper way. And then we've got some other infrastructure things as it relates to utilities plant or physical plant that's going to power these areas there's kind of some sequencing that has to occur. But the good news is that we're on track for construction in 2022 to begin, and we're excited. It'll be a painful time when all this happens. I mean, these interviews that you're doing may happen in trailers or apartment buildings or whatever, but that's the price of progress.
Yes.
And we've waited for it so long, and we're having to catch up on a lot of things that it means we're going to have to take a bigger bite out of the apple than maybe we would have if we would have done some of these along the way. But we're really excited about this, and it's going to change the landscape physically, but it's going to change the expectations of Vanderbilt moving forward.
You know, it's interesting just walking the halls, talking to you, talking to Candace, talking to Mark, take your pick. Vandy United is construction, it's facilities, but it's the commitment of the entire community, right? It goes to everyone can play a part, whether that's financial, whether that's the physical presence of being at ball games, whether that's just engaging with Vanderbilt on a regular basis. It is larger than just, oh, look at the building that we built over there. And that's still pretty darn significant, building the building, but it goes to a much grander principle, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's Candace's vision. You know, we launched the term Vandy United in conjunction with a capital project. And I think that's what has become synonymous with those things. And it is. That is part of it. But Vandy United is beyond just the projects that we announced. We're doing, we did work in the north end zone. We did construction with our concessions improvement. We're doing stuff in Memorial. We'll be doing some improvements at baseball. All of those are part of Vandy United. But beyond construction, Vandy United is a movement of how we all come together to create excellence in what we're doing and to get to where we want to get to. That is not to say that where we are is wrong or bad or no. It's just that there's a greater vision for where we want to be. And then how do we get there? We're going to get there united as one, right? We talked about this before, where everyone has a role in what we are trying to do. Coach Lee's role, Coach Corbin's role, Coach Ambrose's role versus Dr. Lee versus me and versus the average fan, season ticket holder, or quite frankly, just a fan who likes to watch Vanderbilt, right? And how is it that you contribute along the way? How do you become a shareholder in Vandy United? If Vandy United was a company, how would you buy shares into it? One, become a member of NCC. Donate to the National Commodore Club, whether that's through the various sporting avenues that you can, or being a donor to Vandy United, which you can do at vucommodores.com/Vandy United, and be a part of that movement within Vandy United. Be a season ticket holder. You say, well, Tommy, I don't live in Tennessee and I can't go to all the games. We have mechanisms for donating tickets through the Boys and Girls Club or United Way or through the military. We will get the tickets in the hands of people that will use them if you would like to purchase tickets. And to buy merchandise, you know, you can live anywhere in the world and be a Vanderbilt Commodore fan and buy your gear, wear it, and spread the good news. Preach the gospel of Vanderbilt, right? Yeah. I mean, like, at the end of the day, be proud of the team you cheer for, whether you're an alumnus or you're just a fan. That is how you become a shareholder in the company, Vandy United. And that's how you – it is – we said this whenever we hired Coach Lee. Yes, we made a change in the football program, but it is not solely incumbent upon Clark to change football. It is his primary job, but it is all of our jobs. At some point, we all have to say, what am I doing everything that I can do? Whether that's me as an administrator, you as a broadcaster, Coach Lee as a coach, you as a fan or a ticket holder or a supporter or a big donor. Everyone should take their stock of what it is they do for Vanderbilt and whether they're doing enough, right? Make yourself a little uncomfortable in what it is you can do. Do a little bit more for Vanderbilt. And then you become a shareholder in Vandy United. And then as it moves forward and you begin to see the momentum change and the success occur, you could take ownership of that movement because you didn't just sit idly by. It's like if you don't vote on election day, you know, it's hard to really respect your strong opinion if you chose not to vote.
Right.
If you went and made the effort to go and, you know, pull the lever, you know, and vote, then let's have a healthy debate about whatever that subject matter is. But if you don't participate in any way, shape, or form in what we're trying to do, man, you're not a shareholder in what we're going to do. So then when we arrive there, you're not really part of the ownership group.
Right.
And you don't have to be a multimillionaire to be a part of it. You can be the average fan who cares tremendously about Vanderbilt and Vandy United and be a part of that by speaking good of it, buying merchandise, being a season ticket holder, being a National Commodore Club member at any level. And so, listen, it's as excited as I've ever been about an organization and where we're headed. Really excited about men's, women's basketball and the potential this season. Obviously, we're very excited about baseball and our other spring sports. But I could not be more excited about our football program and where we're going into year two with Coach Lee. Just love the way that this staff is working hard to build a strong foundation for the future.
I try to be as much as I can a walking billboard for Vanderbilt. So, you know, a bare minimum, you talk about buying tickets or whatever it is, be a walking billboard as you go throughout the streets. Tommy, I want to get you out of here on this. Vandyville was awesome out at football games, and I want to make sure people are aware that that is happening for basketball as well, yeah?
It is. And so, and certainly one of the challenges there is that, you know, tailgating doesn't occur in basketball, so it's not as visible, but it's occurring. So, again, here's an example to share the good news, right? You've got neighbors who have kids. You want to invite somebody to a pregame festivity. Vandyville at Memorial, it's in the practice gym, which is right there off of 25th, I think it is. When you come in, we'll have inflatables, music, face painting, balloons, and games, pop a shot, those type of things. It's free with a game ticket. So you purchase a ticket to the game, then it is a free event for you. Again, think of it as indoor tailgating Vandyville. So this will be a women's basketball game on January 2nd and January 30th, and men's basketball on February 5th and February 19th. And so I think it's a great opportunity to get my two boys. They'll be there playing. This is pregame. Once the game starts, then we'll move everybody into the gym and watch some Memorial Magic.
Tommy McClellan, Deputy Athletic Director for External Affairs here at Vanderbilt University. Thank you so much for your time, Tommy. We'll step aside, come back in just a couple of seconds, talk with Trey Thomas from the men's basketball program. Back after this on tonight's edition of the Commodore Hour, part of the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Winter camp inside the U.S. Bank Studios to close us out. Let's go live to Memorial Gymnasium in Nashville. Kev, Tim, guys, your quick thoughts on tonight's matchup.
Well, Tim, we saw Vanderbilt play really well in the second half against Pittsburgh the other night, last Wednesday, and hopefully more of the same, and maybe Trey Thomas at that nice second half performance will be able to build on that tonight.
Well, you know, he was 1 of 18 from the field, 1 of 15 from the three-point line, and he missed his first two shots in the second half, but he was the difference maker in the second half. He was 4 for 4 from the three-point line, and Coach Stackhouse was running plays for him to get open looks, and I think hopefully that will take the lid off it, and he'll shoot the basketball with more confidence.
Got a tough little stretch coming up after this. We'll be at SMU on Saturday, and then two hard home games coming up next week.
Well, this next three games are going to be tough. SMU is always tough. Temple has, in the past, always been tough, not probably as good as they've been in, you know, over the last couple of years, but then you've got a, you know, Loyola Chicago team that, you know, is under the radar, but they're a really solid basketball team, and we'll have all we want with those guys.
Yeah, those are going to be three tough games coming up. So we will have tip-off coming up a little after 7 o'clock Central Time, and pregame coming up here in a couple minutes, Gus.
Well, thank you, guys, as we close tonight's Commodore Hour.